Lord being our helper. 142, the 142nd division of the Psalms. We're going to read it in its entirety. It's a little lengthy reading for me, but we're going to read it in its entirety. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. The Lord would help me for just a few minutes. I still don't have a whole lot of voice that I want to preach to you tonight. Is anyone listening? Does anyone care? I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Then the psalmist said, no man cared for my soul. Is anyone listening? Anybody listening? Does anybody care? Father, bless the reading of your word. And stand by me and give me the ability and the wisdom that I do not possess. And help me to be what you expect me to be. And help me to submit and do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Evening rush hour traffic streamed out of downtown Rochester, New York. On the outskirts of the business district, cars and trucks swung into the big interstate highway and picked up speed. It was 5:30 p.m., Tuesday, November the 16th. For most of the motorists, it was the end of another routine day. But as the cars bore down on the interchange, a little girl appeared out of the darkness along the shoulder of the road. She was nearly naked, and some witnesses said she was waving frantically as if trying to signal passing cars. They also noticed a car along the shoulder of the road backing towards the little girl. Police now believe that the driver saw the last desperate plea for the help of Carmen Colon, age 10, a Puerto Rican child abducted from her neighborhood only an hour earlier. Nobody stopped. Nobody cared enough to give a second glance. They were in a hurry. They were busy. 2 days later, Carmen's body was found in a ditch in a remote section 2 miles away. Two boys riding their bicycles spotted what they thought was a broken doll in a ditch. The broken doll turned out to be Carmen's body. She was laying in the mud, clad only in her sweater, shoes, and socks. And an autopsy showed that she had been raped and strangled. 10 years old, dead, raped. And she was trying so hard to get help. But nobody seemed to care. Nobody. God have mercy. The story is told of General Washington. The sounds of the battle were everywhere. A soft snow was falling upon the encampment of 11,000 men under the command of General George Washington at Valley Forge. That winter of 1777 and 1778 will never be forgotten. Their suffering there from cold, starvation, sickness hallowed this historic site for America. Troops wintered in log huts, received very little food and clothing. George Washington had written several messages to his comrades and asked for supplies and reinforcements, but his messages were to no avail. This is 2 days before Christmas, and General Washington stood alone in the gathering gloom of a cold, dark, and wrote this message. We have this day no less than 2,873 men in camp, unfit for duty because they are barefooted and otherwise naked. Then Washington concluded his message with these words: Is anybody listening? Does anybody care? Whether we be a king, a prince, a pauper, everybody needs somebody. Whether you sit on a throne or you sit in the meagerness of a hut, somebody needs to care for you and care for your soul. That's what David was saying. When he dropped that big tear of disappointment down upon the page and he said, I looked on my right hand and beheld there was no man that would know me. No man cared for my soul. That's distress. The king was in distress. As he was saying just simply, is anybody listening? Does anybody care? And that, my friend, is a feeling of hopelessness. The hopelessness. You see, it happens to all of us. We come into those grips sometimes, just like that 28-year-old father of four children. He's a brilliant young accountant. He drives a late model car, but at the apex of the mammoth Sunshine Skyway Bridge at St. Petersburg, Florida, he coolly stops his car, opens a door, walks to the bridge railing, then leaps his life away in the swirling water below. Lay silently empty on the car seat was this scrap of paper that he had written before he leaped. I'm standing on the threshold of eternity at last, as reckless of the future as I have been of the past. I am void of all ambition, dead of every hope. The toiling of life are ending. I'm letting go the rope. That's hopelessness. His wife is left with four children. She is left, and there she sits, a young widow with four children. And the cry of her heart is anybody listening? Does anybody care? We're embarrassed. Gossip has done such damage. We do not give second thought to the hearts that are wrinkled by it and raked by it. We have teenagers who walk our school halls that have got in trouble. They have lost purity, virtue. They have lost all cleanliness, sanity. They are hooked on drugs. They smoke pot. They get their liquor out of their mom's and dad's cabinets and refrigerator. They find themselves hopelessly going down a path of despair. And as they glance at one another going down the hall inside the hollowness of a heart, they're saying, is anybody listening? Does anyone care? We just pass them by and say, who cares? We're often turned off by the little boys that we see in the streets, dirty faced, dirty clothed, playing where we wouldn't allow our children to play. But little do we think that behind that little boy there's a home that's probably in need of someone, because in America it is no longer a shame to be a one-parent home or to be raised by a single parent. No, we oftentimes don't ask ourselves the question, how does he feel? How does she feel? When she gets off of the bus and she's not like the rest of us, she's not clean, she's not kept, the boy's not cared for, it shows. The attitude, the cussing, the words used, the action, the anger, all of it is right there. But underneath all of that is a little boy's heart and a little girl's heart that is saying, is anybody listening? Does anybody care? And I wonder if sometimes we're not just a little bit too busy. We forget about them. We let them slip by us. There's not much hope for them. We look at them and said, what a shame. What a shame. If they were mine, they wouldn't be treated like that. But they're not yours. And you go on, and they still are crying. Does anybody care? Look at that backslider. Sin sick. Look at him. Look at her. Do they want to live like they're living? No, they have found out the hard way that they have become a prisoner. A prisoner who has held by the chains of his own forging. Every cigarette smoke became a chain and link. Every beer drunken. Every novel read that was tinted towards the dark, the bad. And all of a sudden they found themselves in a cage made by their own making. Chains with chains forged by their own forging. And there they are, trapped with no way out. No way out. And he lives in your town. And he lives on your street. And he goes to your children's school. And his heart, the backslider, is saying, is anyone listening? Does anyone care? From the depths of the soul of that sin-sick person, all he wants to know is, can I have another chance? Will you give me another chance? If I come, will you care? And we sit here tonight, so cold and so quiet and so snug. But down deep in our heart, we know that if we really cared, we'd make a difference. Church folks just don't want to admit it. But there's people they know that they don't even want to tell the story about what they know about her or him. We know of people who have gave more than they could ever get out of life. And they gave the wrong way. They gave up so much. And there we are. We know. We understand. They're just right down the road. They're not too far away. It's really not out of our way. We could do it if we just take a little more time on the way to church and a little more time on the way back from church. We could do it. We could make a difference. But we don't. And they say, is anyone listening? And does anyone care? And they sank deeper and deeper into sin and into that pit, into that place of no escape. The soul cries out. The spirit is broken. The body is getting abused. And all because they don't have anyone that would stretch out a hand and say, I care for your soul. Amen. They're skeptical children. We have them right now. They wonder if there is such a thing as a third chance or a fourth chance. Some of them have tried and failed and tried and failed and tried and failed till they're ashamed to come through those doors and face you. Because every time they come back, they can tell by the way you look at them, you're saying, you won't last. You won't stay here. You can't make it. And therefore, they sense that we might not say it, but they sense it because we don't come desperately to the altar with them and pray. We do not cry for them and weep upon their neck. We do not hold them with passion and say to them, you can make it. You can really make it. You can turn your life around. You see, some of them bear our last name. Some of those children that sit out there in the dark, some of those backsliders that are out there in the dark have our last names. And we still don't care. What will it take? You see, we forget, and sometimes to our own hurt we forget, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, not after we got better, while we were at our worst, when nobody thought we had a chance, Jesus gave us a chance. Can I get an amen? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. His whole vision was sinner, sinner repent, sinner come, sinner kneel, sinner have my hand, sinner have my time, sinner. They knew Jesus would not kick them while they were down. Right. He became the friend of publicans and sinners because they knew that he would not put them down. Right. He had come to lift them up. Yes. Well, I wish you'd help me. You see, never forget that Jesus was not crucified between two candles, but between two thieves. Can I get an amen? Amen? Not in a place that you would think was wonderful, but on a garbage heap, a place called the skull. No crossroads was there for just a certain elect. It was a cosmopolitan crossroads. That's why they wrote upon his cross in title of Hebrew and Latin and Greek, because there was a lot of cross-cultured people, and they were all going to read his plaque. He was there in cynics. They laughed at him. They talked smut. They put jokes out about him. They laid odds that he couldn't get down. They laid odds when he would die. They gambled for his robe. They cursed. They did not care. But that's not what Jesus seen. Jesus looked at them, and the first utterance that you have from him for them was, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Right. So he did not put them down, even though they had put him on a cross. Right. He did not turn them away, even though they had rejected him and left him to die all alone. Right. There it is, my friend. Do we care? Do we care? We must care. Time is running out. We used to sing that old song, the Gentile sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go. And if there ever was a time when we know the sun is setting on our race and our children are still not secure and our people are still out there in the dark. And I tell you, it will not change until somebody really cares. I tell you about Jesus. I tell you about him because he said, casting all your care upon him because he careth for you. I can tell you, he cares. Yes, sir. And we have his spirit. Where is our care? I can tell you, he cares. and doesn't care to lift the heaviest burden off of you, but we won't take a finger to lift the load off of our brother or off of our sister. In fact, we will hold grudges. We will think vicious thoughts. We will suspect them of the worst manners. We will not have time to even talk to them. And all because we are not caring. Jesus cared so much, he done something about it. Didn't he do it? He done something about it. The message of Jesus Christ must be shared. If we're ever to bring light into this darkness, we must care. We must be like the first century Christians and tell one another. Take it to the market. Tell somebody about Jesus. Take it to the job. Tell somebody about Jesus. Take it on the street. Tell somebody about Jesus. Don't let another day go that you keep this secret. The secret is no secret at all. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. Tell them, if he saved me, he can save anybody. If he helped me, he can help anybody. If he got into my heart, he can get into any heart. But they won't believe until you care. You can say it, but they'll sense whether you care or not. Amen. Say, can I ask you a question personal? Where does God get his saints? Where does God get his saints? Now look at me. I want to confess tonight. He didn't get me in a church house. He got me in a cesspool. And I can look out there and ask you, where did God get you? Where did God get his saints? And every one of us must admit, we were all lost. Hopelessly lost. We were in darkness so dark we couldn't see our way out. We were in the mire, sinking as we tried to save ourselves. We couldn't but get deeper and deeper. And all of a sudden a hand reached down. A hand that we didn't understand what it was doing reaching for us. It troubled us. We tried to escape it. We tried to outrun it. It's called old time conviction. We didn't like it. We felt embarrassed by it. We couldn't understand why we felt that way. But now we look back and say, thank God he cared enough that he convicted me of my sins and that he stopped me in my sinning ways and that he spoke to my soul about eternal life and that I could have it free of charge if I could only let him love me. Amen. Do you care enough to communicate? Do you? When we care, really care, we'll care enough to communicate. That's why Brother Eric gets so thrilled about being out with these boys. He found somebody he can talk to and communicate with. Now, that's good. That's good. But all of us have somebody. All of us know somebody. Somebody who needs to be communicated to. You see, it happens. A housewife is busy. She runs her shuttle service. She gets breakfast. Just the other day, I had a call from a woman who said, I'm up early and fix breakfast. I homeschool my children. I do all the errands. I wash clothes. I iron clothes. And then he said, my husband comes home from work, and he says, I'm going to go take a nap. And she said, I have no one to talk to. Do you care enough to communicate? There's somebody that you know that's saying, is anybody listening? Does anybody care? Amen. No, I'm not jumping over the Bible stand. I guess I could make a lap around it if it'd help you any. But I want to preach to your heart tonight. I want to talk to you about something really critical. We all carry signals. I remember talking to a man who was of a different, his sin was awful. But I asked him, I said, how do you tell that people are that way? I asked him plainly because he had asked me to come and pray for him, and I felt like, you want me to pray for you, then you're going to answer one of my questions. I said, how do you tell that somebody is in that sin that you're in? He said, oh, it's easy. We get a spirit and we communicate. He said, and when a person walks in a room where I'm at, I can tell you if they're not my way, if they want to be my way, and if they are my way. He said, I can tell you that as soon as they walk into the presence in that room. They communicate. The devil communicates. His spirit reaches out. You don't have to try to hide drugs. Another druggie can spot it in your eyes. He can spot it in the shaking of your hand, the dripping of your nostril. You don't have to try to hide. They know the signal. They see it. They communicate. We're the only people who don't communicate. We don't want to communicate. We don't want to get involved. If I get involved, they're going to latch on to me. They're going to take up my time. I'm going to have to spend time with them. Well, my precious people, it's either we do communicate this gospel, and we do communicate by the smiles and the tone of our voice. We do communicate by our frowns. We do communicate by resentment that shows. We do communicate by the hesitancy of a handshake, of a glance. We do communicate when we raise our eyebrows and we make that face. We do communicate. Somebody gets the message loud and clear. Some of you really want to communicate, but you can't. It's not always easy to communicate. It's not always easy to tell your story. Some of the things that we tell is a turnoff. But then there's that right person at that right time, at that right moment, and your story just fits. And they say, I'm so glad that you told me. I'd run out of hope. I'd run out of ambition. I didn't want to do it anymore. I had gave up on doing that. And all of a sudden, your story makes a difference. Because love never fails. Can anybody say amen to that? Amen. There may be some other things that fail, but love never fails. And if we care deep enough, we'll communicate. Jesus once asked the sick man, he asked him bluntly. He asked him in a way that it would have turned a lot of us off. But he just simply said, do you want to be whole? No preamble, no warming up to him. He just walked up and said, wilt thou be made whole? There's times when you've got to present it. There's times when you've got to say it. But you've always got to speak truth in love. When you let your mouth run and you don't have love in your heart, you're more dangerous than a loaded gun. Your tongue can become a sword. It can become a poison dart. It can kill character. It can kill future. It can kill everything about a person. You can do it with your tongue. But we don't talk about that kind of a communication. We want to be able to communicate to people so they won't go away from this church and say, is anyone listening? And does anyone care? I remember one night when a drunk came in, he sat back here in the back in the second pew, and he was not feeling any pain. He was lit. And he was putting his feet up on the seat, and I went back there and sat down with him. I said, now put your foot down. Put your foot on the floor. That's where it goes. Just put your foot on the floor. Me and him talked for a few minutes, and then finally he got the point. This was not a bar. This was a church. And I told him, and I said, now you need to listen to the preaching. I wasn't mean with him. I wasn't harsh with him. I loved him because I once sat where he sat. And I once felt what he felt. And I once knew the master he was serving. And I couldn't get angry with him because I'd been saved out of sin myself. So I just told him politely and kindly. And he listened to me because he knew I wasn't going to bounce him. I wasn't going to kick him. I wasn't going to insult him. But I wasn't going to let him get out of order. And as soon as he got that, he listened. I remember a night when I think it was 5 or 6 homosexuals sat in the back. They made fun while I was preaching. I called them down. They made fun of me while I preached. And I smiled at them and told them, don't be doing that. And they all left except one. And I went back. He slipped me a note and shook hands with me. After he was gone, I thought, well, I might as well read this and get this over. So I opened the piece of paper and it said, please don't stop praying for us. We really need help. Is anyone listening? Does anyone care? Cardinal Cushing wrote, to be able to remember the gift of love in one's childhood is the greatest gift any man shall have received in his life, because from the gift of love and the good memory of love, a man can become the whole person he was meant to be in the sight of God. And then we must let our talk be translated into our walk. We must let our talk be translated into our walk. You cannot talk one way and live another. Your creeds must become your deeds. We talk about a loving Jesus, but do we love? We talk about a forgiving Jesus, but do we forgive? We talk about a Jesus for everybody, and yet we are exclusive. We have our own little cliques. We have our own little bunch. We never hardly ever get away from them. We sit with them when we come to church. We hardly ever go to the other side of the church. And Brother Watch's face still remains Brother Watch's face 6 months after he came. And you don't even know his name. Is anyone listening? Does anyone care? We must let our walk and our talk and our creeds become our deeds. And we must go out and say. One Chinese man was asked about Christ. He said he never heard the gospel before, but he had seen the gospel in the life of a woman in his village. He said, I've never heard it, but I've seen it. And that's really what the world needs. You are the epistles. God has written them in your heart. You don't have to pack a Bible. You are a living Bible. You are the gospel that men see. You're the gospel that men want to believe. And if you mistranslate the word, you're no better than the revised version. Amen. We see, we got to get down. One man said this, and it's true, but it hurts. It smites me. He said, we have dynamite religion. We just live firecracker lives. Now that hurts. And we are the dynamite religion. With firecracker results. I wonder if I could have your attention just a few minutes more. Holiness is the standard of living for God's people. Never forget it. Never forget that. God is more interested in our holiness than He is our happiness. God does not want you to misinterpret what this book says about holy living. You see, first when we say holiness, we grab our hair. Is my hair cut all right? Or we'll look, pull down our sleeves and say, well, look here, I'm in pretty good shape. But first holiness is, follow peace with all men. Now don't talk to me about holiness until you've got enough love to live at peace with one another. Because if you don't have peace with one another, your holiness is no more than Amish holiness. It's a tradition and not a way of life. You're welcome. I'm glad you're here on this Thursday night. You're welcome. You don't look like you're too happy, but you're still welcome. You see, it's there. The person who really cares will walk his talk and translate his creeds into deeds. We will not just honor the Lord with our lips and let our heart be far from Him. We will not just be hearers of the word, but doers. We must come into a realization that we are the epistles read of men. They are reading the King James Version through my translation. It took me a lot of years to get to know the barbers and the butchers and the clerks and the waiters and the waitresses of this little community. It took me a long time to get into City Hall, to where they know me, know my name, what I stand for. It took me a long time to convince these other ministers that I wasn't a cult and a cult leader. But my life has finally been translated and is translated out. He lives that way because He believes that way. And to live what you believe is the best way you can live. Translating those creeds into deeds. Not just taking that word, if they smite thee on one cheek, turn the other. But then get up that little bit of it and say, but it doesn't say what to do afterwards. Listen, if you've gone that far, go the rest of the way. Forgive as Jesus forgave. We've never enough to believe with a mind only. We've got to have heart in it. And we will love. I'm coming to a close. We will love. To care is to love. Holiness is love. Love gives itself. Gives like a thoughtless prodigal. Then trembles. Trembles that the thought that we didn't love enough. We could have loved more. Love is not only something you feel, but love is something you do. Can I get an amen? Amen. The prodigal's father in the Bible did not approve. He did not approve of his wayward son. He did not approve of the way he squandered his living. He did not approve of his attitude towards home. He did not approve of the way he lived or the way he dressed or the places he went. He did not approve. But his love for his son soon swept away his disapproval. And when he came home, he did not chide him. He offered him again the best that he had. And when we get through skinning fish before we catch them, we'll be a whole lot wiser. I'll never forget the church down south that a lady came in. She was all painted up. She was all dialed up. No one would come to the altar and pray with her. And she finally got through praying and crying, and she got up and left. But what was said after she left was the spirit of a lot of churches. And they said, I'm glad that she doesn't come here to church.
God have mercy.
It was like the actor who was portraying Jesus. And after he had done such a convincing job, a man and his wife came up on stage and said, "We'd like to have our picture taken with you." And the man said, "That's fine." So they had their picture taken with the actor portraying Jesus. Then the man said, I would like to have you take my picture with this cross." And the man said, "Fine." And the man that wanted his picture taken got over the cross, and he grunted and strained to lift it, and it was heavy. And he asked that man, said, "Why are you carrying such a heavy cross? Why are you straining to do so? Why don't you have a cross made of lighter stuff?" This was how he replied: "Do you think I could follow in Jesus' footsteps without feeling the weight of his cross?" Say, what's your cross made out of? Balsam wood? The cross Jesus packed hurt. The cross Jesus packed drove him to his knees. The cross Jesus packed, he packed it only one way, to Calvary, to die on. Can the Lord count on you in these closing hours? The sun's setting. We used to have the mural that Sister Leola painted up here on the things. And sometimes I miss it, something awful. Just with that little message that said, "Night cometh when no man can work." It kept me vigilant in my preaching. I used to have a sign that hung up over here when I had more room before we remodeled. And it simply said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And I tried to walk to this platform with that thought burning in my heart. Hide me, God. Don't let me be seen. They want to see you. The night is coming on fast. Not much longer to work. The Lord of the harvest is going to call us home. When we go marching in, will there be any sheaves in your hand? Will you have led anyone to Christ? Will anyone come up and say to Jesus, "Jesus, if it hadn't been for that man taking time, I would have never known about you"? Would anyone come up and say, "If it hadn't been for that woman telling me about Jesus, I wouldn't have known anything at all"? Is there anyone out here in the congregation that you would care to admit your guilt and say, "Lord, I'd like to care more"? Would you like to find somebody that's just wrapped up in loneliness and you be the one that cares? Can you change your habit enough to include caring? In your future, is there anyone that you see on the horizon that you can care for? Or is it only going to be for you and yours? And most of the time, if you stand up here and you take a prayer request, most requests are for mine. And we very seldom reach any further than my brother, my sister, my mom, my dad, my children. Very seldom do we carry a burden for a stranger. Anyone listening? Does anyone care? How many people you met today that were lost? More than you want to admit. More than you want to think about. And say, some of you are great fishermen. You bring me fish all the time. You know how to cast that lure. What's that bobber? What's that rod in? You know how to feel it in the string. But coming to fish for men, your net is still empty. You've not caught one. And Jesus said, "And I will make you fishers of men." Anyone listening? Does anyone care? You must answer that question. And you alone must stand. Brother Hoskins, come and sing the song for us tonight. The altar's open. Be a wonderful place to pick up a